he said to me, I will send you, Israel, to show the way by which I will be glorified. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 3, that was, little children, from the Ward Green version of 2003, from the book we call God's Word, the Holy Scriptures, God the Creator of all things. His book. Now, in the Ark of Urartu again, the article which we are studying, in chapter, chapter 4, paragraph 8, we have a picture of a petrified antler found in Noah's Ark at Uzengili, Turkey, by Ron Wyatt, who drilled down into one of the Ark's sealed cavities and found this petrified antler and also petrified animal dung, which also proved that this was in fact Noah's Ark, since he found traces of animal life which was still there long after the Ark landed, of course, but in the exact location, but much down below the Earth's surface, right, in the Ark's cavities, is where he found this. That's the picture there. Maybe we can blow that up a little bit. It's better. Let's try not to have... There. Let's try to have it. There it is. Wonderful example there of one of the things that he found. And we're going to be talking about the Chinese calendar a little later on. We can show the calculation from the year 2006, for example, according to the Chinese calendar chart here, compared to the Gregorian calendar, which would be similar to the Julian calendar also, which is the ancient calendar that corresponds quite closely to the Gregorian calendar, especially around the time when, well, when the Julian calendar was first instituted, but also long before that time. Although over the years the Gregorian deviates from the Julian by, you know, what, it was 10 days that was added to the Julian calendar in 1582, so it took about 15 centuries before there was a 10-day difference. So that's how many days there are difference between the Gregorian and the Julian, so they're essentially the same for the purpose of this discussion. But 2006 was the year of the dog in the Chinese calendar. So if we calculate back using our calculator here, from 2006, we subtract 12 times 392. That calculation, because every 12 years, we see that the Chinese calendar comes back again to itself, dog. Then there's pig, rat, ox, that's three, tiger, rat, or tiger, rabbit, dragon is six. Snake, horse, goat is 9, and monkey, rooster, dog is 12, to get back to dog again. So if we go 12 times around, or 12 years, we get back to the dog. So if we go 12 times 392, we get back to the dog again. In the year But since there's no year zero, we're going to go one more year because we don't have to go through a year zero. So it's going to be 2699 instead of 2698 BC, which this calculation gives 2698. So if we just said, okay, if we just said that and then subtracted an extra one because there's no year zero, we would have had 2699. And that is why, the reason we did that is to show that 2699 is in fact the year of the dog, which was the first year of the rule in the Chinese chronology of the emperor they call Wang Di, the Yellow Emperor. Let's read now. Lord, keep us humble. The genealogy has truly solved many of the major difficulties that are encountered in attempts to perfectly recreate. Not just create history, right? We can't create history. We have to recreate history if we want to be accurate. Though we dare not say all of the difficulties have been solved. Certainly that wouldn't be accurate. Only Jehovah and his miracle of life have brought this on. The deluge date and the date of Abraham have been found to be very much help in studying how the genealogy is true. That's true, isn't it? That's very true. We found the date of Abraham because we had the 2206 for the birth of Abraham, which we calculated from the ancestral record in the Bible. We could calculate how far back each of the fathers was born from the biblical record, and that brought us to 2206 for Abraham's birth, and that correlated perfectly with the timing of the beginning, well, with many things, including the famine in Egypt of Abraham's time, and also it correlated with the time of the Assyrian Empire and with the Akkadian Empire, and also with this wonderful discovery of Gudea that we found correlated perfectly with Chedorlaomer in the Bible being Gudea, Kudur Lagomar, with Lagomar referring to his city, the city of Gudea, which is Lagash. And Arioch, the king of Elasar, being the king who accompanied Ninus on his expeditions, with Ninus being the same person as Chedorlaomer or Gudea, and also the god, very similar to the god Nanna, who was worshipped by, the name being similar to the god, the name of the god Nanna, who was the one worshipped by these ancient people who lived in that area, because of, we believe also, the name Kainan, which had the N-A-N. So they were practicing a form of ancestor worship also by worshiping Nanna, but they worshiped the moon. It was the moon god they were worshiping as an extension, really, of this ancestor worship of the patriarch Kainan, who had been erased in the Masoretic text of the Hebrew Bible. But this is the best that we found in terms of understanding it, and we found it all because of our chronology for Abraham, and the deluge date also has helped us, because it helps us to understand when the Bronze Age occurred and all of the development that happened after the earth was inhabitable, after the deluge, and then metallurgy was recreated and began in the form of the manufacture of bronze implements, which is called the Bronze Age. Believers believe everything. Unbelievers believe nothing. So, well, we talked about also Arioch of Elasar corresponding to this king of Larsa, and Larsa was a city very near to where, near to Lagash, where Gudea lived. So Larsa and the king of Larsa was, as described by Sir Walter Raleigh, was Arius. Was he not? Arius? Arioch, king of Alesar, and Arius, I think his name was. The king, a very similar name to Arioch, regardless of what the exact form of the name was, because, of course, all these languages are quite slightly different, at least slightly different, in the giving of the names. That's why Chedorlaomer is different from Gudea, of course. But Kudur and Gudea, identical, really. Except, I mean, the ending of a name like Kudur or Gudea, the EA or the UR, the ending of the name is rather dependent on, almost depends on how the name is used in a sentence, for example, because words have endings, depending on whether they're being used in the nominative or subjective case, or whether they're an object of a verb, and so on. So the idea that the name Gudea is close to Kudur is very, very true, that the KU and the GU are really identical, with G and K being really identical as far as all of these ancient languages being very, well, it's not that they're, you know, it's not that they're always, I mean, there's very little ambiguity, I would say, in these ancient languages, because they had to be certain that they used unambiguous descriptions or names for people. And the fact that G and K are known to be the same when we translate from one language to another, that that's a common thing, that means that they would never use a G if it were going to be ambiguous with a K. K and G are essentially the same letter. And the ancient people knew that, so, but, I mean, they wouldn't even be concerned. For them, there'd only be one letter. There would be either the K or the G. But it would probably be a K, or, well, who knows? In their alphabet, it wouldn't be a K, because that's a letter in our alphabet. But it would be a letter that's equivalent to a K in our alphabet, and their letter would be equivalent to either G or K in our alphabet, because our alphabet is where the ambiguity comes in, not in their alphabet. But Gudea and Kudur Lagomar, this king, it was such a great discovery that we made, identifying them as the same person. And nobody else had done that. That was something of our genealogy, but we've discovered many things that no one else had discovered. But believers believe everything. Unbelievers believe nothing. Try and imagine this. This is hard for unbelievers to grasp, this concept. So believers benefit from unbelief. So, you know, even if somebody makes a statement or makes a statement about something they don't believe, believers can benefit from the positive belief of that. And unbelievers don't believe the believers, and they also don't believe their own unbelief. You know, believers believe, in other words, believers will believe the unbelievers, and if someone says they don't believe something, well, a believer can accept that. They can accept the doubts also, as well as the beliefs. They don't have problem. Believers have no problem with doubting, with the fact that we can doubt things at the same time as we can believe them. We know that both doubt and belief exist together at many times. We don't always have 100% certainty. So believers don't have problems, but unbelievers just basically can never come to a point where they believe anything. So there's never anything that they can do out of faith, because they don't have such an idea due to the fact they don't believe anything. In the Chinese calendar, this year of this article, which is 2010, is the year of the tiger. And on February 3rd, 2011, I wrote in this article, will be a start of the year of the rabbit. The Chinese calendar is said to date to Wang Di 2699 BCE and began reportedly in the year of the dog, calculated as 392 cycles of 12 years each, which we just calculated. We don't have to go through that again. But look at that number. 12 times 392 happens to be 2 times 2 times 2 times 2 times 2 times 3 times 7 times 7. I forgot that. That's another thing I did back in 2010. Let's work that out again. 2 to the power of 5 times 3. Okay. 2 to the 5th power times 3 times 7 squared is 4704. Right? And that number divided by 12 is 392. So 7 squared, which is the square of the divine number 7, 49, is a factor there in that number 392. That's powerful because it's divine. In two of the factors, the prime number 7 is a divine number. According to Jehovah's purpose, his divine purpose, the number 7 is a divine number. The next 12-year cycle, 393, equals 3 times 131, which would be 1 more than 392, is in at this point in 2000... Wait a minute, hang on. 12-year cycle. Yeah, 12 years after 2006 would be 2018. And that would be also the same, since it's 12 years later, it's the year of the dog. But coming up after the year of the dog is the year of the dragon, the snake, the horse, the sheep, the monkey, the rooster, the dog. Let's take a look. Okay, the goat is also called the sheep. So we have after the dog... Wait a minute, what about the pig? What do we have here? The dragon. Well, the rabbit, right. So in the year... Well, in the year 2010, we had the tiger. Right. Then we had the rabbit, then the dragon, the snake, the horse, the goat or sheep... Then the monkey, the rooster, the dog. Right. Adam was created in the year of the rabbit, which we say is 5550 BCE. The year 2011 is now 630 cycles from the creation of Adam. 2011, okay. So what's 2011? That's, we just said, the year of the rabbit, right? Yeah. 2011 is the year of the rabbit in the Chinese table, corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, or the Julian calendar, essentially. But the rabbit, 2011, let's see what we get. For, it's fascinating because what we can glean from this is rather fascinating. So 2011... let's add 5550, right? Excuse me, wait a minute. 5550, right? But we have to subtract 1 because there's no year 0, so we're trying to get the total number of years. And that would be, well, the difference is what we want, though, right? So, the difference between... Those, yeah, so we're subtracting. The difference is going to be, because 5550 is a negative number, when we subtract it, it becomes positive, but and that gives us, you know, the total number of years between the two dates, one of which is negative 5550. Negative 5550 all the way to 2011 would be 7,000 something. But we subtract 1, right? Let's put a bracket on both sides of this. Right? And then we can say equals 7560, right? But we divide by 12. Is 630 cycles. Right, so that means Adam was 630 times 12 years before 2011, which is exactly the year of the rabbit. Curious, because the rabbit's known for reproduction, and Adam was supposed to be the beginning of the reproduction, of or the production, not just the, not the reproduction, production of the human species was from Adam. The year of the rabbit is interesting. Moses was born in the year of the rooster, March 1st, 1572. Noah was born in the year of the rabbit, 3882. Again, Noah the year of the rabbit, because Noah had to reproduce all of humanity after the destruction of all the pre- or antediluvian advanced civilizations that were destroyed in the deluge. Moses was born in the year of the rooster, as we said there. We got to figure all these things out. If we modify Moses' birth year by 1 year, then we got to change what year it is in the Chinese calendar accordingly, because if it were 1573, that would be the year before the year of the rooster, which would be the year of the monkey, right? So it matters. The deluge occurred in the year of the rabbit, 3282 BCE. That's curious as well, isn't it? Because, of course, why is that? Well, it's because 600 is 60 is 5 times 12, so 600 is 50 times 12. And it was in Noah's 600th year when the deluge occurred. Arpachshad was born in the year of the snake, 3280 BCE, and the Exodus took place in the year of the dragon, 1493 BCE. 1493, the year of the dragon. I don't know, we need to verify all these, but we won't be able to do that today. I don't think it's too much. Oh, we could, but it would just be overwhelming for some people, right? 1493, what was the year of the dragon again? What's the year after the year of the... Okay. Well, we could do it from the year... The year of the dragon is 2024. So, let's say 1493 plus 2024, or 2023, because there's no zero year. 3516. Okay. And 3516, just type that in again. Divided by 12 is 293. So it is, in fact, the year of the dragon. So that's wonderful to be able to calculate all that. The Exodus occurred in the year of the dragon. The year 2001 CE came 440 cycles after Arpachshad's birth. Arpachshad was born in the year of the snake. We know what happened in 2001, September 11th, the year of the snake. The World Trade Towers came down. Just a horrifying terrorist attack. No matter who you believe caused it. Moses dies and Israel crossed the Jordan. Look, the year 2000 is exactly 291 cycles after the Exodus, which is the year of the dragon. Moses dies and Israel crossed the Jordan River at 1452 BCE, all of 288 cycles before 2005, the year of the rooster. Solomon's Temple was founded. So Moses died and Israel crossed the Jordan in the year of the rooster. Solomon's Temple was founded in the year of the rabbit, 1014 BCE. It was completed in 1007, year of the dog, and destroyed in 587, year of the dog. That would be 420 years. Is it? Wait a minute. Let's see. Let's see. Yeah, 35 times 12 is 420. So 420 from 1007 to 587. Destroyed in the year of the dog. Jesus was... Jerusalem was destroyed in the year of the dog. Jesus was born in the year of the rabbit. Again, the year of the rabbit. The rabbit known for its reproductive powers and Jesus being the Messiah, the Savior of all mankind to reproduce and give life to all humans. Everlasting life, in fact. So a fitting symbol, again, the rabbit. I was born myself in the year of, go figure, the monkey. 1957 CE. It seems strangely appropriate that I should be the person who discovered the eclipse of Nimrod because there was a gentleman by the name of Frederick W. Green who was working with a team and found an armor pallet in 1898. His name was Green and he discovered an armor pallet, not to mention the fact that the eclipse of Nimrod relates to Nimrod, and Nimrod is... Well, the eclipse of Nimrod is something we discovered, but the... So we just named it the eclipse of Nimrod. That was a name that I gave it. The eclipse of Nimrod, 2774 BCE, July 18th. But the other thing is that the Monkey King movies, where the Monkey King seems to depict Nimrod, is interesting because of the monkey being in that movie and also being the... symbol of my birth year, the monkey, in my case, for my birth in 1957. I cannot adequately express my gratitude to all of so many marvelous people. Excuse me. Marvelous people whom I have encountered in my researches. As Twain said, the report of my death was an exaggeration. I am more than grateful to my wife, who, as sounding board, assists my writing. At the time, she was my wife at the time I wrote this. I am more than grateful to my wife, I wrote, who, as sounding board, assists my writing, and to Jehovah, my God and my Savior. If Jehovah is willing, this shall be a very exciting year. There's the eclipse. Look at this. The annular eclipse depicted by the program Solex at the site of Noah's Ark, July 18th, July 18th, 2774 BCE. The annular solar eclipse at Noah's Ark in Uzengili. And we can show that, hopefully right here, depicted more in a larger size here. The moon is exactly in the center, it looks like, very close to the center of the sun there. Beautifully perfect annular eclipse at the site of Noah's Ark. And it occurred in early afternoon in eastern Turkey when you correct it for the fact that the time given here, which is 10:39, is universal time, UT, as shown there, universal time, 10:39. So 3 hours later is where Turkey is, where Noah's Ark is east of that, which is later in time. So it would be 1:39 in the afternoon, roughly. Between 1 and 2, or 1,300 and 1,400 hours, or 1 and 2, between 1 and 2 of the afternoon hours, so it would have been visible, you would, you know, weather, the weather conditions permitting, at the site of Noah's Ark in Turkey. And that was what we called Nimrod's eclipse in 2774. And it coincided also, obviously, with a new moon, because that's a conjunction of the moon is when solar eclipses occur. The moon blocks the sun, so they're in conjunction. But it also was Thoth 1, the beginning of the Egyptian calendar. The first day of the Egyptian calendar fell exactly on that day. And it only happens that July 18th, you know, will coincide with, or that, what am I trying to say here? Well, it was also the rising of Sothis. That's right. It was also the rising of the star Sothis. At that same time, the star Sothis rose with the sun in the morning at that site. It was the rising of Sothis. Or maybe the star Sothis rose at Memphis. I'm trying to think, where did the rising of Sothis occur on that day? Whether it was there or at Memphis, but it was definitely the rising of Sothis in one of those sites as well on that day, which means that only occurs every 1460 years, the rising of Sothis. Let's find out. Let's see. Let's look up Sothis. It's hard to retain this information. It's crazy. There's so much information to correlate here. Synchronized with the heliacal rise of a dog star. Right? Right. Egypt's calendar rises. Oh, no, I know. No, it can't be the rising in Uzengili. The dog star rises on July 18th in Memphis. That's at Memphis. We know that because it depends on latitude. The date of the dog star's rising is July 18th at Memphis in Egypt. So it coincided with the rising of dog star in Egypt, right? In Memphis. Or, right, well, wait a minute, though. Also, it would have been rising in 4 years earlier at the site of Eridu, I think we said, which would have been the site of possibly of the Tower of Babel also. Yeah, that's right. So we did the calculations. We've done all that, and there's still a lot to try to calculate, try to figure out what's going on here with all this stuff, right? There's a lot of things that are just obscured by the mists of history, of the mists of time, not even history, but we have to figure out the history if we can. It's October 17th, 2024 of the Common Era, and the time is 1951 hours North American Eastern Daylight Time. I'm Ward Green. Thank you so much for listening and watching. I love you very much, and in my behalf, this is Liv Dusty, and this is Cassie.